Hello, it's us again. Welcome to Blossom Buddies. We're getting to the end of season four. There's 30 minutes on the clock. This episode is called Night of Reckoning, and I was just telling Craig about how this episode might be my favorite Blossom episode to date, just because the plot of this is three very almost experimental stories that are sort of like, it's like three bottle episodes in one.
Mm. Plus, Blossom is dressed like a 1950s grandmother the whole time.
That's true. Her hair was up. It was a different look.
Her hair is up in like a 1950s-ish kind of style, but she had that like green frumpy like outfit on that just, it looked like wool. She was wearing like a wool outfit that I don't know if it did, but it deserved to have at least one brooch on it.
I mean, Blossom seems like she would go on to be the kind of person that would wear a lot of brooches in the late 90s.
Yeah, I believe there was probably an episode about her getting a brooch from a dead grandmother or something.
In season five. Oh, yeah. I think there was there Didn't something that happen? Like that? Yeah. I thought you were making a joke about how there's going to be an episode in season five where the whole episode is about her getting this brooch.
Do you think there's a fan wiki for Blossom where we can just look up Blossom brooch as keywords?
No.
No.
I don't think there's a I think we're the Blossom fan wiki.
After this podcast is done, instead of starting a new podcast, we should really just create the Blossom fan wiki. We're the most equipped people to do it.
Nobody's ever taken the time to not only podcast and do a review of every episode, but also like retain this knowledge because we do it weekly. So my head is just filled with Blossom stuff at any time of the day. I actively try to not sit around thinking about Blossom.
I have a little child running around, so I don't have that problem.
I'm in a pandemic. Me and my wife don't have kids.
Yeah. No, basically. If I didn't have a kid, I would be thinking about Blossom all the time. And I would be playing Valheim with you.
Yeah. And I just play video games and waiting for everybody for herd immunity, essentially. Yeah.
Having a kid is very much saving me money on video games because I'm not buying any video games at full price. And I haven't bought a video game. I bought Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney like a month ago for $15 or $20 for the trilogy. And the last time before that was like Borderlands 3, which was before the PS5 came out, I think.
Yeah. You somehow had a kid at like the exact perfect time in anybody's life, like during a pandemic.
Yeah. People without kids right now are very bored, and I am not.
Time is going by super fast for me, but you have a kid, so it's like time would be going by fast anyway. Most people are like myself, I'm like, I'm reading books. That's my contribution. Last year I reviewed 200 and something movies. Like that was my thing I did during COVID. You're like, I reared a kid to age two or three, depending on how long this thing goes.
Yeah.
And you're just going to be on the other side of it.
Yeah. Oh, the pandemic, you mean? I thought you meant the podcast.
No,
the pandemic. Yeah, totally. However, we're buying a backyard pool, like not a wading pool, not a little plastic Mr. Turtle pool, but like one that like will be a couple feet deep so I can like start teaching him what swimming's all about. Like just get him in a pool and splashing because, I mean, he's 15 months old and has been in a pool once in his life.
That's awesome.
I kind of wanted him to be in like swimming lessons, like the parent and baby swimming lessons. And like, that's not going to happen. So I got to take it upon myself.
It's going to be a ways away before anything like that.
Oh yeah. I'm not taking him to a public pool for at least a year.
So this episode was directed by Joe Bergen or Bergen. I don't know how you pronounce that. And written by Brenda Hampton, who we've gone over.
I'm gonna say Bergen because it's spelled the same way as Candace Bergen.
Okay, but it's maybe not Candace related. But it's not Candace Bergen because I've always said
Candace. Wait, Bergen. Is it Candace Bergen? Fuck, now I'm questioning my entire existence. we don't care how you pronounce his name.
Another thing I noticed about this episode is it's out of sequence because when we open the episode,
Shelby and Tony are making out in the kitchen.
They're very lovey-dovey. Vinny's not in this episode because he's working or whatever, but she's like, I miss Vinny, and Blossom says, I miss Sunny.
No, Six says, I miss
Sunny. Sorry, that's what I meant to say. Yeah. Yes. So either
I wrote that down in all caps.
Either Six, this episode Sunny. is assumed to be directly after that two-parter, or it's somewhere like in the middle of that two-parter.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it being like out of sequence or like chronologically not in the right place.
So much has happened to Six though, since she broke up with Sunny.
Has she dated anyone else, though? That's still, like, the last relationship she's had.
I don't know, but she's been to fucking rehab.
Is this supposed to happen in the middle, like, between that two-parter?
Like, maybe that was, maybe that's how it aired on TV, but it didn't make any sense when you wrote out the episodes.
But also, like, another plot in this episode is Joey being real upset with his mom, which would have made more sense for them to show us this not long after the Blossom in Paris fiasco.
Well, there's that episode where Madeline comes to town. Remember?
Mm. Yeah.
From earlier this season, like right after they got back from Paris, she comes over to the States.
Joey just like didn't want to see her, right?
Yeah. I think it was still more of a story about Blossom and the mom. Mm. But yeah, I don't know. This episode is weird. And like I said, like it answers so many questions and stuff that I wish were answered much earlier. I don't know if it was just made like, I don't know. It feels weird. It felt really weird. I liked it. It felt like very experimental.
Yeah, it felt kind of disjointed. Like I felt like it was teetering between like being a complete mess and being like a masterpiece of a sitcom episode.
See, I really enjoyed it. Like
I liked parts of it for sure. I don't know if I would call it my favorite episode. Top five. I'd say it's top five though.
We're going to have a, for our series finale, we're going to have to do some serious go back and try to
remember. Oh yeah. Our finale is going to have to, we're actually going to have to do some homework for that. Aside from just watching Blossom and taking notes. But we open the episode in the kitchen and Shelley and Tony are being all romantic and they're like peanut butter or jelly, peanut butter. And they're just like, oh, they both like the same thing of
that joke everything. Has a good payoff later.
Oh yeah, we'll it sure does. But there is being, you know what? This episode's not out of sequence because it has to have happened after like Shelley was around. I mean, it can only be like a few episodes late because Shelley and Tony have only been a thing for like 5-6 episodes.
Yeah. So this is more like 10 episodes if you really consider how fucking long the season is.
28 episodes.
28 weeks. We've been talking about this. There's 52 weeks in a fucking year.
Yeah. I mean, it's only 28 episodes because Blossom in Paris would have been a movie on television. So that would have counted as one episode instead of four. It should be like a 25 episode season.
That's still too many.
Still too many.
Still too many. This episode could have not happened. We could have gotten right into the next episode and the finale, which makes sense for season finales of a teen show. We'll get to that next week. But
Anyway. But we're in the kitchen.
So awesome, Nick Mrs. wants to Vinny, take
six Mrs. Sunny. Six Nick also wants... doesn't know who Alfred Hitchcock is. Sorry. Yeah, now I'm getting ahead of us.
But... Right. Nick wants to take them to the drive-in because they're all bored. Because this is another thing that I noticed. Blossom was depressed 2 weeks ago because it was her birthday.
Right.
And she was like, I'm bored and I, you know, don't want to turn this next 17. Age.
Yeah.
Her saying this had the same energy. That's why I was like, where does this episode fit into the timeline of this season? So yeah, there
are Six and Blossom are very hesitant to go very to the hesitant. I mean, if you're that bored and there's no internet, like they don't have the cable television and streaming services that we have today, I'd be like,
no, you go rent.
Let's go to the drive-in. That sounds cool. Well, like, so Nick was like, oh, you ever been to the drive-in? And Blossom said, not with a family member, which I thought was a tongue-in-cheek.
She's definitely gone and gotten tongue-punched in the fart box by
That's a good one. Did you just come up with that? Tongue-punched in the fart box?
No, that's an old internet fave.
Nice.
So Joey then comes in. We find out that he got stood up by Madeline. That's why I'm saying, like, when does this take place? She's in town.
Yeah.
And basically, he has a series of fantasy flashbacks to different times in his life.
When she stood him up, didn't go to his baseball games, and promised she'd be at the next one, and this happens over and over. So this flashback is it flashes back the furthest to when he is like at like six or whatever. And Joey Lawrence's
home run.
Littlest brother plays, you know, little Joey. Yeah. And little Lawrence says, whoa. He was like, I hit my first home run. Whoa.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I thought it was cool doing that in a flashback, having his own real life brother bring in the then whoa. It
flashes back to modern day or current day and he's just pissed. He's just so he's mad. Just, like
he's what's the word? Brooding. Yeah, brooding is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, another doing. Like that. That's another thing that was out of place about this episode, and why it felt experimental because of this subplot. Joey's acting, like, Joey Lawrence is a pretty decent actor.
Yeah.
Like,
when he hasn't had like 8 sitcoms for nothing.
Well, that's a good point. But I mean, he was pretty one note on this show, but mm-hmm. when they had to get some tears out of him or some,
they could, they did anger, it.
They get it. Yeah. And it's good stuff. So we're at the drive-in. We find out that, coach
girls, Mason, gym coach.
Yeah. And the secretary
are gay together.
Smooching. And yes, yeah, so you, that's what you read as well. They didn't overreact about them being gay.
Yeah. But Nick wanted to watch.
That's how I knew it was for sure that I didn't mishear it. But I wanted to wait to talk to you about it because I was worried up until just now that I still was misunderstanding it because there were no gay jokes. And they didn't, it was two lesbians kissing in a 90s sitcom. And they were like, to each their own. And I was like, that's the best they've ever handled anything. There was no homophobia. There's even
in the next episode, they handled it quite poorly.
Straight up gay joke. Like, straight up gay joke. This episode,
Joey wants to die at the thought of gayness. Yes. Pretty much.
And we'll get to that next week. If you hadn't noticed, the last few weeks, we've been trying to record two episodes at once because we're wearing pretty thin on this whole Blossom idea. I don't know if you can tell.
Steve. I learned that Steve is one of our 4 listeners. Sweet. At your birthday party the other day.
Yeah. And
unless he was lying, because I'm not sure he's not. We should have tested him.
What happened in this some of my friends that listened to it sporadically.
Yeah.
Madison actually came back from a run. My wife came back from a run, and I looked at her phone. Like, I looked down.
Oh.
Fucking Boston Buddies. One of the newer episodes is right on there. So
nice.
Shouldn't have said all that horrible stuff about her.
Yeah, no.
See,
we shouldn't have revealed the plans to kill our wives on the podcast.
That's so she listens to this episode. She'll be like, oh shit, when did I get shit talked? She'll go back and listen to the whole library.
She'll listen to all of them. Ah, genius. I'll have to cut this part out where I say it's genius. Genius plot to get more
and
listens.
We go like this for the video for the video viewers. Hey, the videos have been doing a decent numbers. We got 50 views 3 weeks ago.
So. Nice. That's more than like 4 per audio episode. Right? We get.
So I took a week off this week. I just got through my birthday. I didn't put up a new Blossom Buddies home video episode this week, but next week I might, put up 2. Who knows?
Maybe. And what a birthday.
What a birthday. We had a fucking party.
A virtual Zoom party
with like 15 people playing Jackbox.
I ended up listening to Collective Soul thinking it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Just like, you guys, remember Collective Soul? Somebody started singing along.
I think
to
Jared.
Sean. Yes, Jared.
I'm glad you guys got to meet each other. We can talk about this off air though.
Sure. Let's get back to Blossom.
So they don't do homophobia. Then Nick, so Six is like, I'm going to go to get some popcorn. And Nick's like, you can ask me any questions you want. Let's make this interesting.
Once Six is gone. Let's be clear. He's not saying this to Six.
No, I want to watch this movie. They're at Psycho. Psycho is traditionally one of the most scary movies of all time, but I myself can attest to it not being scary at all when you watch it with,
modern sensibilities, because I mean, my first horror movie was Friday the 13th Part 3 that I saw when I was like 5 years old.
And that shit still holds up, but it's so campy and hilarious that it's...
Especially 3, because it was the 3D one, and just like half the kills are... Like, there's the one where he crushes the guy's head, and the eyeball pops out and it flies right at the camera.
Yeah.
So good. But makes Psycho seem extremely tame.
Because Psycho is like, it's kind of a psychological horror. And
it's half that, but it's like also kind of the first slasher flick.
That's true. And the main character, the guy that plays Patrick Bateman.
Not Patrick Bateman. You're thinking American Psycho, not Psycho. Anthony Perkins is the actor.
Norman Bates. Anthony Perkins is an actor out of time in that movie. That's the biggest takeaway I took from it. He's so good, and he reminds me of like a modern day actor. He's not like, hey there, honey, I'm acting and it's the 1940s. Hey, see? He's like very methodical and brooding. And he, like I watched, I think, not Invasion of the Body Snatchers, but The one where all the plants.
Little Shop of Horrors?
No, the plants are turning people into plant people. Maybe that is Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
It is. Well, that's the pod people. So like they kidnap people and then make clones of them in pods.
Yep. I watched that shortly after Psycho, and that movie was nobody was like doing a great job. Everybody
you watched
was like,
the
yeah,
original
see?
Like 50s one or the 70s one with Donald Sutherland?
No, that's on the list. That's the movie I do want to watch because
that
I know it's
I like
it's
that
probably 70s movies are still scary.
Mm-hmm.
That is the one exception to the rule we've kind of posed here. 70s movies can still be just because they were so well made in the 70s. Like even
well,
Jaws.
the ones that have survived, because I'm sure there's a shit ton of movies that like no one mentions on listicles, so we today don't watch them. But yeah, Jaws, fucking great, of course.
The original Wicker Man, I understand, is
it's so good. It's so good. Like I haven't seen the Nicolas Cage one because
so
just the memes. I'm like,
it's
this
awful.
Is ridiculous.
I've seen it twice and it's goddamn bad. It's god awful. It sucks.
I warn you, the original one is very slow. It's a slow burn.
That's cool.
So don't expect like a slasher flick. It's very much like what the fuck is going on with this cult island the whole time
like,
until the end when it's like, oh shit, there's no bees here, but I'm in a lot of trouble.
It's like get that Midsommar vibe, which is the scariest movie I've ever seen. With that, it has very minimal gore. There is some, but
yeah, Wicker Man, the original Wicker Man, is one of my favorite, and it's got Christopher Lee in it, who played Dracula like a million times.
Yeah, and was in a metal band up until he passed away.
Nice. Anywho, Nick's like, hey, ask me any question. And Blossom's like, did you ever have premarital sex?
Like, that was her go-to. She's like, did you have premarital sex? And he's like,
like, she had that in her back pocket. Yeah, he screams at the movie, but like the subtext is that he's screaming out having to answer that question to his daughter.
And this is where the bottle episode bit for these two start, because Six will come and go sort of during their conversation.
Yeah, when she comes back, she's got popcorn and she's like, well, this can't be real butter because her popcorn is one giant sphere.
Yeah, but that's coming up. So then we're back in the living room with Shelley and Tony. They're still
being
all lovey-dovey, being romantic. And the dumbest cameo I've ever seen in a TV show happens when, this is so fucking stupid, there's a doorbell.
Yeah.
Tony opens
Shelley,
the
Shelley
door.
Shelley went to the kitchen to get some drinks or whatever, and the doorbell rings.
And it's Rhonda, but we only see her from the back. Then it cuts to commercial.
And then no more Rhonda. Rhonda's gone.
And then she's gone.
We never see Rhonda again.
So
it was not Portia Dawson. You used the word cameo wrong because it could have just been a mannequin standing there for Halloween.
Well, the character of it can still be worked that way, in my opinion.
Mm.
If the character
cameo is when like a famous actor comes in to do like one line and then leaves. So it's like a cameo, except that like for all, I didn't look, but like, I don't think anyone's credited as playing her because we don't even see her face.
Well, on IMDb, she's still credited.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's no way they got...
That wasn't her. They would have shown her face if it was her. There's no fucking way.
Yeah,
I've seen
exactly.
enough movies and TV to know that if you're going to get somebody to come in and even do a line, maybe they planned to do that. She backed out and they ADR'd because she says like, oh, hey Tony,
yeah, she
I
did
missed
speak.
You.
Yeah,
and hugs him. I don't know if it was her voice. Like it's not like she has like a distinct voice.
That's true. Matthew Lawrence, Andrew Lawrence. Oh no, it says Portia on IMDb. It says Portia Dawson as Rhonda. Credit only.
Credit only. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like she's in the credits.
Interesting.
But the next episode has that too because I was looking up who Melanie is. Spoilers: Melanie shows back up. But I noticed in that it's Portia Dawson credit only on the next episode, which she definitely is not in or has any or is even mentioned.
Yeah, I think that's just because she was in the series at the beginning of season 4 as a regular. So she's just in the credits for every episode.
Yeah, they probably make
even though
one
she's long gone
for the whole season.
If Blossom was a more popular show, I'm sure we could look up like what happened to Portia Dawson. Why did she leave the show mid-season? But we got to get back on track.
She leaves after the commercial comes back. Shelley gets it out of him that it was her after he lies
but
to
of
her
course,
60 times.
In typical Tony, yeah, exactly. In typical
and
Tony
gaslights
fashion,
her, tries
he
the gaslighter.
The shit out of this situation. He's just like, what? No one was at the door. And he's like, oh shit, and shuts the door.
But it boils down.
And he's like, it was the pizza, and there's no pizza.
It boils down to Shelly being like, who is that? How long did you guys date? Did you ask her to marry you?
Yep.
Where did you ask her to marry you? It turned out it was the drive-in. And Tony wanted to take Shelly with Nick and Blossom and Six. And then Shelly gets pissed because she's like, oh, you wanted to take me to where you asked your ex-wife to, which I think is stupid, but somewhat valid.
It's on the same plane, but not as stupid as when Rhonda got pissed at Tony for having a female person in his student film,
or when Tony got pissed at Rhonda for Pluto
or whatever. Yeah,
Pluto at Disney World. And then this is where the best joke in the episode happens. Tony's like, okay, well, can we move past it? And he's like, beach home or summer house? And she says, dog house, and storms out.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. So we're back at the drive-in. Blossom still wants to know. I thought we were going to skip over that. Like, I didn't think that was a real thing we were going to explore.
Yeah, I thought it was just a cutaway before a commercial. But yeah, Blossom's still trying to ask her dad about premarital sex, and he's not answering. Then so she asks if he ever did drugs.
Yeah. And did you find that Nick had like a different personality in this episode than he normally does? Like, he's written differently.
He was definitely not a violent mafia father.
No, but he was more bubbly and more like upbeat.
Yeah.
He was like, wants to take the kids to the drive-in. He's like an open book. Very wholesome.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't feel like Nick to me. But basically what this part boils down to is she's like, if you're not going to tell me his stuff, you know, let's move on. How about this? Do you believe in God? He's like, yes. And she's like, well, why don't you go to church? And he's like, well, because I had premarital sex. Yes,
because of all the premarital sex I had or whatever.
Yeah. And he also says that he smoked a little bit of weed, but he didn't inhale.
Didn't inhale, which would have been, this was before the Bill Clinton I didn't inhale thing came out, or no? It was probably around the same time.
Probably around the same time.
They were probably
making that was the joke reference. They were probably calling back to. Yeah. So that's when Six comes back with the popcorn, I think, or it might be.
She came back at the beginning of this scene and then left.
And there was the thing with she was walking back and the coach saw her and was like, you owe me laps.
Oh, yeah.
And then she was running outside the car and while it was stationary. Yeah. Mm. And it was like, well, she said I could do it here. So Six is just kind of coming in. That's why I keep saying this is like a bottle episode. Then we get a second flashback to Madeline being terrible.
To
this
Joey. Time,
she says, whoa. Did you catch that?
I wrote down Maddie Will.
I think he hit a home run, or he got the winning home run to win the game, or something
like that. And this time it was the middle Lawrence brother. So this is when, you know, Joey's in like end of grade school, beginning of high school. Like, he was probably like 13.
But then she's like, it's so great. I'll get to you next time. However, me and your dad, sometimes when a man and a woman don't love each other anymore, he just like zones out. He's like, I've been here before. This has an excellent payoff as well. We're back at the drive-in. This is like the PSA moment of the episode where Blossom is like, well, it must have been safer in the 60s.
When there's no AIDS.
Yeah. And he's like, no, there was still lots of problems with having sex with multiple partners and premarital sex. We were just too stoned to realize the problems. It wasn't until AIDS came out in the 80s that people started to like slow down and be like, maybe free love isn't the best course of action when it comes to sex. And just like, he's like, you should care about he's very like matter of fact. He's not like, wait till you're married. He's like, you should, you know, love the person you're with if you're going to sleep with them. That's not 20, 30 years later. That's not really how things go now. We're back to sort of you can have multiple partners if you're single, as long as you're safe and, you know, the communication is wide open. A lot has happened since the weird, still very religious early 90s, but he's very open to everything.
Yeah.
Also, we forgot to point out that after Joey comes back out of his fantasy about the past, he takes a baseball bat and beats the bed with it.
Yeah.
Which I thought
I thought because he like wound up for that swing, and I thought he was gonna like
smash a lamp off a fucking desk.
Yeah.
I was so ready for it, but hitting the bed had more like impact for me because it wasn't campy. It was real.
Yeah, like as a frustrated teenager. Like, I can't count the number of times I like punched my pillow and my bed.
Yeah,
frustration. Never with a baseball bat, but my baseball bat was all the way in. I kept it in the garage, not in my bedroom. So I would have, if in my rage, I would have had to go to the garage, get the baseball bat, go to the basement, explain to my parents why I was bringing a baseball bat to my room.
So sorry to jump back and jump back forward, but we do get Nick saying, well, this was the day of reckoning.
That's the name of the title.
And then we find out that Madeline was actually pregnant with Anthony, and they got married because of that. And that's very similar in my case. My parents got pregnant with me, and you know, in the 80s, you had to get married. That's just what happens. And much like Madeline and Nick, they made it about till I was 10 or 11, till they finally were like, fuck this. I don't have any brothers or sisters,
yeah. But Blossom's sure. Like, oh yeah, wasn't that a problem? Whatever. And Nick's like, no, everything worked out all right, you know, except the divorce, and Tony ended up a giant drug addict.
And it was like, oh shit. Yeah, oh, shit. So now we're back in the living room. Shelly and Tony
are still talking about Rhonda, but they, I guess, sort of.
They're fine. They're just, he just is like, I met her on set at a Playboy shoot, and that's all I care to talk about. And Shelly's like, well, fuck. And then the doorbell rings and she goes, oh, I hope it's not Uma Thurman choking on a hot dog. And I thought that was funny. Oh, yeah. And overtly sexual. Yeah. But Madeline shows up. She's there to have an excuse for Joey. She goes upstairs. Joey's like, look, bitch, fuck you.
Oh, yeah. Joey tells his mom off. Tells her right off. He's like, I'm sick of your excuses. Because she's like, I'll show up, next week. And he's like, no, we're not doing this anymore. This is the last time you don't show up. That was my favorite line of the episode. This was the last time you don't show up.
And the acting, again, in this scene.
Yeah, Joey nailed it.
Was not like average sitcom. This was a great payoff to Joe. Like this is the opposite of when we have an episode where there's three stories that just don't work together. Yeah. All of these three stories, while being very different, all had a setup, middle, conclusion, and they were all pertinent to old storylines. Yeah. And they felt very like they paid off so much stuff that I never thought we'd get payoff for.
Yeah. And that's about it. My last note is Maddie sucks.
Yeah, Joey calls back to Paris, tells her to get fucked.
He's all like, you know, you made Paris. He's like, you take the easy choice. Like, and she's like, no, like leaving your family's not easy. He was like, yeah, you made it. You kept telling me that Paris was awful, but it's not. I've been there, which is a callback to Boston and Paris.
Yeah. The last bit is Tony and Shelly. We find out that Tony was actually conceived during Psycho at a drive-in. He was named after Anthony Perkins.
Yep.
And then at the very end, Madeline's leaving, Blossom's getting home, and Blossom says, like, do you ever start at night and it's supposed to be ordinary and it turns into like this like groundbreaking big night? And she's like, you know, I just had one of those. You want to talk about it? And Blossom's like, no. Good night. And the last frame is Madden looking so dejected with that watercolor nonsense.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, the payoff of her like just getting it from all angles in the story was great.
Yeah, and there was a lot of payoff in this episode. In my opinionation, like throughout like the beginning and middle of the episode, I was like, this, it all seemed like it was going nowhere. And then at the end, it's like, oh yeah, there's this that we're going to wrap up and this.
Yeah. And my opinionation, same. Nice. I just really enjoyed this. We didn't watch up. We took a week off because we taped two, and I always find when we do that. But the first episode I watch, I always like more. And this is no exception. We're coming to the last 10 seconds. Yeah. Two woes, drugs was weed, and we love you. Look us up on social media at Blossom Buddies.
Yeah, I like the woes. Net. They were very unique, well done woes. And bye.
Bye.